again today, I would like to ask for your prayers. I would like to call your attention to some scripture found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 16, and I want to begin reading with verse 19. God bless you, Sister Debbie, and let's remember her in our prayers. And I want to say this, the doors of the church are always open. We go through a formality of making it known that we're going to, give you an opportunity to become a member, but the doors of the church are always open. And so anytime throughout this service, if you need to follow the Lord in that way, then you just let me know and we'll take care of that. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And I just want to read those three verses for now for a scripture reading. And I want to bring before you a message. This is the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this hour of service. I want to bring before you a message entitled, A True Beggar. Sometimes we read these scriptures or we hear these scriptures read and preached about and expounded upon, and we think they're often used a lot of times in revivals or in evangelistic sermons to show people the truth about God's word, that there really is a place called hell, and for all those that fail to be saved, they'll have to spend an eternity in that place. But in these scriptures, it tells us that this man named Lazarus, that he was a beggar. And I want us to think about that today, what a beggar truly is, what a true beggar is. Now, I believe today, and you may You may disagree with me or you may accuse me of being judgmental, but I'm going to tell you what I believe is true in our society. I believe there are a lot of people today that we see and that we encounter that many people would look at them and they would call them a beggar when really they don't truly fit the definition of what a true beggar actually is. I believe there are people today that beg by pretense. There are people today that people call beggars that they're just lazy. Some of them are able, if they would do it, they could provide for themselves and work like we're supposed to and take care of what they need, but they would rather just hold out their hand and have someone else help them so they don't have to bear that responsibility. The word beggar is used a lot of times in a very disparaging way because of what many people have done. But there are those, and I believe that Lazarus, when I read about him, I believe that he fits what, in its truest definition, what a beggar actually is. And you can find a lot of different definitions to just about any word. But when you read, when I use a dictionary, I generally use Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. I found that to be more reliable than anything I've ever used. And in his dictionary, he defines a beggar, and these are not his exact words, but he defines a beggar as one who through circumstances, has been reduced to extreme poverty, and they are in a situation where they cannot help themselves. They cannot do what they need to do. We see in here that Lazarus, he was a very unhealthy man. When he laid at the gate of this rich man begging for those crumbs which fell from his table, the Bible tells us that he laid there and that he was full of sores. He was not a healthy person. And I believe that he could not help himself. And so Brother Wheat was talking in Sunday school this morning about how that... if a person gets really hungry, that person will eat things that normally, if they were not hungry, they wouldn't dream of eating those things. And I believe that's true. And I believe that people that have reached a desperate state, the way that Lazarus had, they will beg. You know, when they begin to feel physical hunger and those hunger pains, they're not above begging for someone to give them food. And thus was the situation with Lazarus. He was truly a beggar. He was a man that had been reduced to poverty. And I don't know the situation that brought Lazarus to this. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But he was a beggar and he was a sick man full of sores and he was begging from day to day the crumbs that fell from this rich man's table. Dogs were coming around as he laid there and licking him and trying to help, those sores. And that seems to be, from what we read, that seems to be the only medical treatment that he was receiving was when the dogs would come around and lick on his sores. And, a true beggar is someone, and I know that we all, I've had a hard time in my life asking for things because of pride. And I know that we all tend to have a certain amount of pride. You know, no, I don't want you to give me something. I'll get it for myself. And we have pride in that way. And I know that there are some things said in the scriptures about pride, where pride is not a good thing, but there are certain ways that we look at pride. I mean, a person ought to think enough about themselves that if they can, they'll take care of themselves. We ought to possess that type of pride. And so someone like we read about Lazarus, someone that has reached destitution to this level, I assure you that they have lost their dignity and they have lost their pride in that way, and they are no longer reserved about begging or asking for the things that they need in order to sustain them. Now, I want you to notice something about Lazarus in this, that the rich man here at whose gate that he laid, this man was very, very wealthy. And the Bible tells us that this rich man, that he fared sumptuously every day, and that he wasn't in need of anything. I'm sure that he had plenty of money, and he had much sustenance, and he just had, you know, whatever he desired from day to day to eat and to drink. And we see Lazarus here. Lazarus, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about Lazarus begging this man for his money. He wasn't begging that this man would give him money and would make him rich. He was just begging for, he wasn't even begging for the man's meal. He laid there begging the crumbs, the Bible says, that fell from the rich man's table. You know, he was just begging for something to sustain him and to keep him living. And so, you know, I believe oftentimes, and again, you may consider this to be judgmental. I believe it's true. I believe oftentimes that you can detect whether or not somebody is really in need by, you know, when they tell you something, and perhaps they tell you that they're hungry and you offer to buy them food and they want money instead. You know, they say, no, I want you to give me money. I've encountered people in my life on several occasions that told me they were hungry, and I went and bought them food, and they, you know, seemed very glad to have it. And you know what? I believe that the person was truly hungry, and, you know, that truly they needed food. And so Lazarus, I believe, was truly a beggar. Now, we read about, you know, other beggars in the Bible. We read about, you know, people in other situations where they, you know, could not really, you know, fend for themselves. And we read about in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we read about a man named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. And the Bible tells us there, and they came to Jericho, and that was Jesus and those that were with him came to Jericho. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Here we have a blind man that was begging. In the third chapter of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, in the first two verses, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Here we have a man that couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get up and move around. He had a physical condition that hindered him from taking care of himself. And he was carried there. They carried him there daily. It says, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And so here, this lame man lay there at the temple from day to day, and those that passed by, he would beg of them. He would beg of them an alms. He would beg of them, that they would give to him that which he would be able to use in order to sustain himself. And so here in these examples with Lazarus and with Bartimaeus and with this man there at the temple, we have examples in the Bible of situations where it seems that the only thing that these people could do was that they could beg for what they stood in need of. Now, there's something I want you to remember about this. I believe that a true beggar, like the Bible talks to us about when it talks about these men, I believe that, and remember I said the title of my message today being the true beggar, because I believe a true beggar is a person who has, again, they have been reduced to the point that they know and they realize that they cannot do anything for themselves. They have something that hinders them from being able to supply their own needs. And so they turn to someone else. And they beg. They beg for that. Now, there are other ways in which that we read about in the Bible, and I want to talk about just a few of these before I get to the main point of what I want to speak about today. But there are other ways that we read about in the Bible where we read about people begging. The Apostle Paul was a beggar. He was a beggar. Now, you could think about that. You could say, well, I don't remember any time in the Bible where it tells us that Paul was laying around on the side of the road or something like these people were begging for food. But, you know, there are different ways and different things that we can beg for. And Paul certainly was a beggar. Now, if you Bible studiers, if you go to your concordance, you'll see that the word beggar or the word beg or begging or something like that really isn't mentioned that many times in the Bible. You find it a few times, but it's not a real common word in the Bible. There is a word that's used often in the Bible that means the same thing, and that word is beseech. And when the Bible says, I beseech, that's essentially what's being said. If I beseech you, you're saying, I beg you. And so the Apostle Paul did some begging. Well, how did he do that begging? Well, he did it in his epistles. He did it in his writing. He begged the Romans for something when he wrote to them. And this is what it was. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul could not make those people do that. He could not force them to do that. He wanted them to do that. You know, when I stand before you and preach the word of God to you, I cannot make you receive it. I can't force you to receive it. And you know, God could if he wanted to, but God doesn't even do that, does he? God doesn't force people to receive his word and believe his word. And I certainly can't force anybody to take the things that I would preach and apply them to their lives and use them to benefit them. But I can beg you to do that. And I'm not above that. That's what Paul did. Paul said, I beg you, brethren. Imagine the impact of that, the impact it should have had anyway when they read that, to hear this man writing to them and saying, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would live for him, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, because it is your reasonable service to do so, and I beg you to do it. He begged the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, same words. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, And we know the problems that they have. If you've studied 1 Corinthians at all, you know the problems that they had. And the Apostle Paul wrote to them, and he begged them to come together in unity, to be unified, to be in one mind, to be in one spirit. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I beg you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do this. Begging you, I am beseeching you. The Apostle Peter was a beggar in his epistles. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now, you know, when I stand before you or anybody else as far as that goes, but when I stand before you and exhort you that you would live a moral life, that you would live a clean life, that you would abstain from the filthy lust of the flesh, that you would abstain from those things from time to time that tempt all of us, but that you would keep yourself in the will and in the way of God. I know that I can't force morality upon anybody, but I would beg you to live your life in a way that's decent and in a way that honors the Lord. And that's what I believe Peter did in his writing. He begged these people, I'm begging you to abstain from these fleshly lusts because they war against your soul. You know what? I believe that those things that the Apostle Paul wrote about and those things that Peter wrote about in those epistles, those things meant something to those men. They meant something to them. They wanted those to whom they were writing. They had such a desire to those to whom they were writing that they would do these things, that they were willing to write to them and say, I am begging you. I'm begging you to live your life this way. To live for the honor and the glory of God. We read about a woman named Hannah. And, you know, Hannah became a beggar. She became a beggar. She wanted something so bad. I'll tell you what, when somebody begins to beg, I want you to remember this. When somebody begins to beg, I mean truly beg, they have reached a state of desperation. They are desperate for something. And Hannah had reached that. She was desperate to give birth. She was desperate to have a child. She was desperate to become a mother, and she was not able to do that. She was barren, and there wasn't a thing in the world that she could do about it. There wasn't any way that she could change that physical situation, that physical hindrance that she had. And so she went to the Lord. Now you can read Hannah's prayer, and you can read the things that she prayed to God, and you can say, well, I don't see anywhere where it tells us that Hannah begged, but it's there. It's there in the second chapter, 1 Samuel verse 8. Look at what she said. If she wouldn't have begged God for that, then I don't believe she would have ever made this statement. Hannah said he raiseth, after God had heard and answered her prayer, she said he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. The last illustration I want to use is the one that I really want to talk to you about. And that's David. David was a beggar. He was a beggar. You can look at what David said, and he said, David said in what made the statement in one of the Psalms. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But I'm telling you that there was a way in which David was a beggar before the Lord. And it's recorded in the 116th Psalm. David found himself in a situation where he could not do anything about it. He could not change it at all. He was poor and he was destitute and he couldn't do anything about it. And I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint, he found himself in that condition. He said, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord and listened to what his prayer was. Listen to how he called upon the name of the Lord. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. What was he doing in that desperate situation that he found himself? He was prostrate before God and he was begging God to deliver him from those horrible things that he was experiencing down in his soul. Oh Lord, I beg you, I beseech you, deliver my soul. I'll never forget the time in my own life. Folks, I'm telling you, the night that the Lord saved me from my sins, I came to him as a beggar. I mean, I was wretched before the Lord. There's people today in the world, they mock this and they make fun of this. And they even, I believe, accuse us at times of saying, why would you, why would you promote such a thing? Let me tell you something. Before you ever receive the glory, you're going to experience the trouble. Before God, I believe I can prove this amply from the scriptures. Before God lifts you up, you're going to be brought down. What did David say in the 40th Psalm? He brought me up. He brought me up. He brought me up out of the horrible pit. What did he say in the 116th Psalm? I was brought low. Not just that I found myself, or not that I self-inflicted myself. I was brought low. Folks, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God in working in my life, and I can speak it from experience, God brought me down. He brought me down. He brought me low. And I found myself in that situation. Listen, I wasn't just asking. One of the things that Webster said in his definition, he said a person that's begging for something is doing more than just merely asking. And I'm telling you that when I was seeking the Lord, I was so broken before him that I was begging God for the salvation of my soul. I'm not ashamed to stand before you and tell you that I became a beggar in that hour. I was crying out to God and I was begging him because I knew that I was in a situation that I could not change myself, and I knew there was only one that could change it. Let me tell you something. If you were hungry, if you were feeling the pains of natural hunger, I'll guarantee you that if there was somebody that you thought had food, someone that you knew of could help you, I guarantee you when that hunger began to burn within you, you would not be above begging that person for, even if it was for the crumbs that fell from their table, that you could have a little bit to eat. A little bit to eat. And I was there, and I was begging. I was a beggar. Anybody remember being a beggar before the Lord? I was a beggar before God. I was seeking after him with all that I had because I knew that there wasn't anything that I could do to better my situation. I'll tell you what, when God brought me low, when he brought me down, God didn't just bring me low. I'm telling you, he brought me to the lowest that I'd ever been in my life. How is it that he remembers us? In our low estate. He brought me down. And when I became a beggar before the Lord, thank God he heard my cries. And he heard my prayer. And you see, he had brought me down, way, way, way down. And he brought me up. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, placed my feet up on a rock, and established my goings. I'm here today to tell you that if you are lost and without God, that an eternity without the Lord, an eternity separated from Him forever and forever, in the depths of a burning, torturous hell, is just exactly what you deserve. It's what we all deserve. To be separated from God forever and forever would be our just reward. That would be our just reward. But you need to come to the Lord, and you need to beg Him with all your heart that He would bring you up. Bring you up. I'll tell you what, the Lord, everything that God does, He does it to the uttermost. Because I told you, when He brought me low, when He brought me down, He brought me to the lowest point I'd ever been. But I'll tell you what, when He brought me up, He set me on the highest pinnacle that I've ever been in my life. I've never felt anything like the salvation of the Lord. And so, you know, my prayer today, if you're here and you're lost, that you'll come to the Lord. That you'll come the way that David describes coming, when you realize that you're lost and ruined without the Lord. That the prayer of your very heart will be, "Oh God, I am just begging you." Don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to come up here and say those words. I'm telling you that the prayer of your heart will be begging God, begging the Lord to save you from your sins, because you can't change it. You can't change it. You cannot change your situation. Your only hope is to beseech the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Those blind men, blind Bartimaeus, and other blind men that we read about in the scriptures, they couldn't change the fact that they were blind. There wasn't a thing in the world they could do about it. When they knew that Jesus was passing by, they would cry out to Him. They'd cry out to Him to make that change. The man there that was lame, laid daily at the temple, he couldn't do anything to give strength to his legs. He couldn't change his situation. You can't change yours either, but God can. And so while we have a song, I pray that you'll come to the Lord begging Him. I pray that you'll be obedient to the Lord today in that. I pray that if you're here today and there's something that, if you've been saved and there's something you need to do for the Lord, I pray that you'll be obedient to the Lord in that, while we stand and have a verse or two of a song.